Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is Nicola Zynga on Trundlebed Tales Radio. Hello, welcome to Trundlebed Tales Radio. This is your host, Sarah Utoff, and tonight we are going to be talking to Nicola Zynga from the Walnut Grove Museum, and I really hope that she's in the screening room, because it looks like she is on the switchboard, but I have never done this before, so hopefully it's going to work out, but if not, remember, it's all part of the fun of live entertainment. If you're new to Blog Talk Radio, I do want to let you know that you can either, in addition to streaming it, there's a chat going on the website, blogtalkradio.com/trundlebedtales, and you can also call in to talk, and our number is 714-242-5253 or toll free 1-877-633-9389. And just as a reminder, the next episode, Trundlebed Tales Episode 5, is going to be Celebrate Laura's Birthday on Air. It's going to be airing on Laura's birthday, February 7th, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So now let's go and see if I've got Nicole. Nicole, is this you?
This is me. Hello,
oh,
Sarah.
Oh, good. Hello. Thank you so much for volunteering to be our very first guest. And if the show is a big success, you can always say, you know, you knew us when. And I hope everything goes okay tonight with the technology and that everything works. So is it sounding okay on your end before we go in?
Very clear.
Okay, good. That's what we want to hear. So before we get in too much, I want everybody to know that I know Nicole, and we've run into each other most recently at Laura Palooza this year. And for those of you who don't know you, Nicole, why don't you sort of tell us a little bit about what your job is with the museum?
I started with the Laura Ingalls Wilder Museum in Walnut Grove November of 2000, so I have my 10th anniversary this year.
Oh, wow, and congratulations.
Thank you. The PC, politically correct term for my job, is collections manager, which a lot of people, do you collect on those? No, I take care of and manage the collection, which is the archives, the artifacts, building exhibits, doing research, inventorying the artifacts. It's kind of a job of all trades.
Well, you just do a great job there. Part of the reason, besides the fact that I knew you and I thought you'd be nice if things went wrong, is that I wanted to start with you is because I was working on going through some pictures that I had of my last trip to Walnut Grove, and I was making my mother label them for me because she was driving me a little nuts. And she just kept saying, wow, they have changed so much. Is this the Walnut Grove Museum? Is this the Walnut Grove Museum? She kept saying, because it's been years since she's been there. So it's just been wonderful how you've made so many improvements to it. And I'm just so glad that you're there.
You know, growing to an 8-building complex has been a challenge for the past 10 years, adding it, making it interesting for not just Laura fans, but for the people they drive along. So it's, you know, exciting, hands-on, you know, outdoorsy, so you do walk between buildings. We even have an outhouse that you can't use, but it's a really nice exhibit.
Well, I've heard of a couple people. Is that a big problem with people thinking they could use it? I have heard of interesting discoveries in outhouses at various museums.
We have not had any issues the past few years, but, you know, some jokesters, you never know.
Well, that's true. Well, let's back up a little bit and kind of get back into Walnut Grove Flora Connection. And the book, of course, that is set in Walnut Grove is On the Banks of Plum Creek. Now, how many times is it again that they mention the name Walnut Grove in On the Banks of Plum Creek?
Well, you know, Sarah, I ask my students when they come for the school tours all the time how many times they say Walnut Grove in the book. And I get funny answers. I'm like, did you really read the book? Never. She never mentions Walnut Grove. She does apologize for that later on. And in a letter that she writes to the newspaper editor, Everett Lance, in October of 53, saying she didn't realize that she was writing history and that people would want to visit to all these places that she wrote about. I'm just reading back in old articles that were when Gress Williams visited Walnut Grove back in November of 1947. And, you know, him walking on the Gordon store and saying, hey, by the way, did you know? And they didn't realize that Plum Creek was the famous one that Laura had written about.
Well, it just seems amazing that they wouldn't, but I'm sure that kind of cut down on the number of visitors that you got for a while. Was it when Garth Williams first showed up that they figured out it was the Plum Creek?
That is correct, yes. I did a little research on my own trying to prepare for this interview, and I contacted the state of Minnesota, like a lot of children did back in the days before they knew where Plum Creek was. And they indicated to me that there's actually 4 Plum Creeks in Minnesota.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yep. I've been hoping they find a map and so I can map out where all the Plum Creeks are besides in our county, River County. But
well, that would be really cool.
That website was down yesterday, of course.
Of course. And we went to, yeah, that would be nifty. I didn't realize there were multiple Plum Creeks. I guess it was even harder than I thought.
Trying to track it down, you know, even William Anderson, I chatted with him, and he said the same thing. When he wrote the state requesting location of Plum Creek, they just gave him a form letter and the exact location of Plum Creek, but not what county it was in or what town it was near. You know, it gave them Meridian and all the measurements, but not where it was at. So it took him a while to find it, too.
Yeah, nothing too concrete to actually help you there. So that must have been pretty exciting for people when Garth Williams came through. Was there a lot of fuss in the newspaper then? That would have been the Walnut Grove Tribune, right?
That's correct, yes. I actually, just in November 6th of 1947 Tribune, they talk about Garth Williams visiting from New York and how where she lived near Walnut Grove, and the Gordon family really took a shine to it. They thought it was very exciting, and so that's when they started opening up the site, cleaning up so that people could get out there. And I'm trying to get more research on that to figure out when did they put the bridge in and, you know, when exactly did they remove Jack's grave.
Well, that's a good thing. If those of you out there listening, if you have ever read Laura by, oh, his first name's Donald, isn't it? Donald Zokart?
That's correct.
Yep. He talks about, describes going to visit Walnut Grove, and one of the things he talks about is Jack's grave. And I think I got a better picture than the last one I have. Do you guys have a good picture of that one?
We have one on file, yes.
Okay.
We try to discourage it, of course, because it's, you know, fictitious.
It's...
Are you there, Sarah?
There we are.
If you can hear me, I'm going to call back.
Just back then, before a pre-television show?
I'm sorry, I missed the question.
Did a lot of people come to Walnut Grove to visit the dugouts before the television show?
No, it was very sparse. Usually, same thing you do in a small town, you go to the newspaper office first. And then you'd, you know, ask the question, and then they'd send you out to the dugout site.
So it was probably a big change when the TV show came out. I remember when, or I have seen a couple clippings of it, and they seemed to think all sorts of people were going to show up. Did it have a big impact?
Well, the TV show started September 11th of 1974. And shortly after that, the beginning of October, they had their first Wilder Committee meeting because the Gordons were having such an influx of people that they could not control what the people were doing out at dugout sites. For instance, going inside the Gordon's house, inside their bedroom, because they think it's a museum.
They
have to do something to control it, tell people what's going on. We need a museum. And so by May of 1975, they had found a location and opened up the first museum, which would be across the highway, Highway 14 on the corner.
That was the one in the old gas station, right?
That's correct, yes. Way before my time.
Well, mine too, but I see it's kind of cool with all this museum stuff hanging out this old gas station. So then how soon after that did the pageant start?
We were having all these visitors come, and then, you know, of course, we needed something to entertain them. And they decided in July of 1978, I do that quite often on bus tour, sorry about that, July of 1978, to hold the first Wilder pageant, Fragments of a Dream is the name of the play. And it was written by Jim Merchant, and that was performed in the Walnut Grove High School, mind you, in the auditorium in July. Very successful, but very hot as well. I've had people tell me stories about it.
I'm sure it was. We did our high school play in the auditorium in May, and it was still broiling. And that is a nice big auditorium. I was so excited. I'm sure other people probably aren't that fascinated. But the day I got to go into the auditorium and see where the first pageant was, boy, that was... That was one of the highlights of my trip that year.
Yeah, the kids kind of take it for granted now. It's not that big of history for them, but for us fans, it's very true. The next year, they decided to rent out some land right by the banks of Plum Creek, just west of Walnut Grove, and that's the first outdoor, the natural amphitheater we have out there, which I know you've attended, in 1979 was that first one. And it's been taking place out there ever since.
Well, one of the nice things I think about it is you guys always seem to reinvest all the money that you get, and it seems like every time I go, there's another improvement to the facilities. So.
Yeah, that's correct. The Wilder Committee, which is the museum committee, is the one who started the pageant, but then after that first year, the Wilder Pageant Committee is a total separate entity. They're two different nonprofits now, and they do. They mostly what they spend their money on is advertising for the next year, and then, you know, putting up a new building, you know, fixing this building. They did some new signage last year. They do a very good job of taking care of their sets. And, again, it's mostly all volunteer, except for the director, I think, and a lighting person. But the rest of them are all local volunteers that come and play Laura, you know, play Mr. Beetle, play Mr. Nelson. Very exciting.
So how much time of a commitment is that? How soon do they do the auditions?
I believe tryouts, I know it's on their website now, is in April. And then they start usually end of May, the whole month of June. And then they, of course, cut out Sundays. It's the second, third, and fourth weekends in July every year. But we did drop Sundays a few years back just to give the cast a break because it's tough, you know, getting done at midnight and having to go to work in the morning at 7.
Yes, I imagine. And it is a late night, but it's well worth it, I think.
Yes, yeah. Man, my daughter has, you know, been in it for how many years? Since she was 9 when she played Laura. So she loves it, and she got to play an adult this year, so she was pretty excited.
Well, that's just wonderful. And it really, if any of you haven't seen this production, I always say of the three pageants, Walnut Grove is really the most Hollywood, and it just the sets are built on railroad cars. They can pull forward, they can pull back. If there's a scene outside the house, they can have the outside. If it's inside the house, they turn it around and show the inside. It rotates 180 degrees. They build a church every night. There's a punctured gas line, so when there's a prairie fire, it really goes across the front of the stage. It just really is an incredible thing. And I'm just so glad that you guys have still been able to do that.
Yeah, my favorite part, Sarah, is the creek. The creek that they created out there actually uses the Plum Creek water. They pipe it in. So the water that's in that Plum Creek when the big scene where Nellie falls in, that is actually Plum Creek water flowing into our little man-made creek.
Well, that definitely is a highlight. It's a great little thing on one side of the stage, and they have the dugout built there and real animals, and it's just an incredible show. And as an insider, do you have any tips on the best way to attend the show, or things that people should bring along, or things like that they might not expect?
You know, attending that pageant for as many times as I have over the years, I've sat in pretty much every seat. I prefer sitting on the hill over on the left side, which is closer to the concession stands, of course. And then also on the other side by Plum Creek, you might want to bring your bug spray. Mosquitoes, even though they do spray the ground, their mosquitoes are, you know, natural wild animals, and they like to bite. So I always bring that in a blanket. Best idea is put a blanket underneath that lawn chair, and it's a lot easier to tend with those mosquitoes.
That's all really good advice, I think. Now, I just want to pause here for a second, and I want to give our numbers again in case anybody wants to call in. We do have one other listener on the switchboard, but they don't have their hand raised, so that's supposed to mean they don't actually want to talk. So if you do want to talk, you'll have to say something. The numbers to call in if you have a question for Nicole is 714-242-5253. That's 714-242-5253, or toll free 1-877-633-9389. Toll free 1-877-633-9389. Okay, now that
I have a question for you, Sarah.
Okay.
My question is, how many times have you visited Walnut Grove in your lifetime?
Oh, well, probably a lot more than the average person. actually, the first time, and I mentioned this a little bit last week when we were just kind of talking about Laura Ingalls Wilder vacations in general. The very first time I was at Walnut Grove, I was 9 years old. And my mom, for a birthday present, because my birthday's in August, so it was a summer birthday, we went up to see Pepin. For the first time, because I'd never seen it. And then she surprised me by taking me on to Walnut Grove as well. So I got to see it fairly early. That first time I was there, the museum was just all in the depot. And I am pretty sure, I haven't been able to find a picture of her, but I really think Shirley was on the desk. I really kind of have a memory of her in a blue dress with a long dress, and I think it was that first time. And it was just really a great experience to get to go there. Of course, the museum's grown so much by then, but we had the covered wagon, which I think is probably, as I think of Walnut Grove and the museum, that's one of the things I think of the most, is that covered wagon that's a, sort of a photo op thing that was out front for years. And I think you it's a replacement one now. It isn't the one you started with, right?
Actually, that was one of the first things that were done when I started in November 2000, was kind of a fundraiser to replace that wagon because it had blown over in a windstorm and had gotten destroyed.
Oh, that was too bad.
The first time we did a kind of a fundraiser sitting on the counter where we had a donation box, and that was for specifically a wagon and then a wagon cover.
Well, I'm so glad you replaced it, because I really do think that's sort of one of you guys' icons, what people think of when they think of the Walnut Grove site. And I have several
pictures
of me there.
Hey, it ended up in Melissa Gilbert's book, you know. In the middle of the book, in the pictures, there's a picture of Melissa Gilbert on the covered wagon.
Yeah, and that news story they just did, if any of you read the post in the Beyond Little House about the family history tour, or if you saw the link that they put, that the museum posted on Facebook, because I mean you're all 21st century now, right? They can follow the museum on Facebook and Twitter, and I just saw today and now on Blog Talk Radio. So you guys are just doing all sorts of different things to get your word out, aren't you?
You got to stay up with the media. That's the important thing.
So, yeah, that wagon, I think, is really something. That was Actually, my first version of my Laura Ingalls Wilder presentation that I did, that was my end slide, was that we were climbing down from the covered wagon. It was my brother and me sitting in that. So the only bad thing about that wagon is if you're traveling by yourself, it's a little hard to get the picture.
And the nice thing is there's some lovely gift store lady attendants, myself included, that will come out and take the picture for you if you just ask.
Oh, well, you know, I wish I would have known that before. I'm always accosting some poor person who's passing by.
Well, they like that too, though, you know.
Next time I'll have to remember to do that. And then, let's see, the next time I was there was you'd added the pole building that's now the gift shop, and that was kind of interesting, too, because there was, like, a center aisle, and then there was, like, a half wall of wood, and above it was just, and you city people will forgive me for a minute, some of the most beautiful hog paneling.
Exactly. Crafty Museum has to have hog paneling, Sarah. Come on.
Well, it was so, I wish we could get that now. It's so cheap now compared to that stuff.
And again, that was, you know, prior to my time, and they did what they had to do. And, of course, if you know the history of that museum, it opened, and just a few months after it opened, a car crashed through it.
No, I actually never heard that.
Yep, the building opened about 1987, and about that same time, just a few months later, a gentleman, you know, lost control of his vehicle and decided to park it in the middle of the museum. So we have some nice photographs of a truck sitting in the middle of the museum. Yes.
Well, boy, you sure can't tell it looking at it today. They must have done an excellent job repairing.
They repaired it really well, and then, of course, after the remodel back in 99, that's, you know, when it turned over to the gift store and the offices. That's, again, prior to my time, but I'm kind of excited that I didn't have to be in the back room of Grandma's house or up in the attic in Grandma's house for my office space.
Yeah, I think probably it was much better to be in the pole building. And that really, it's such a great gift shop. And even if people can't get to Walnut Grove, they can still get the gift shop, right?
Yes, we're online and we do mail orders year-round. I know we had a mail order just last week to the Netherlands, so we do international mail orders as well.
Well, that's a really great thing because there's stuff in there that I don't know where people would find anywhere else. And do you want to go ahead and give you guys' web page just in case anybody on here doesn't know?
Our website is walnutgrove.org, O-R-G, and if you just go onto the front page there, you get the Wilder pageant information, the museum information, our gift store is right online as well. It has our hours, too. The gift store is open year-round, so there's somebody there Monday through Friday right now, 10 to 4 Central Time.
Well,
a lot of the orders, if you want to call and order like an apron and bonnet set or a dress, you can call and get specific colors, and we can help you pick out some colors. And, you know, everyone needs to have a slate and slate pencil. It's important to have one of those.
You have to have your own, too. You wouldn't want to be beholden to the teacher.
That's correct.
So,
the gift store was remodeled in 1999, and the success of that remodel, turning the depot part into a museum, and then the gift store being in that the pole building, I guess you called it, McNeenis Building is what we call it, was so successful that that's how they came up with funding to hire me that November of 2000. They had a very successful season for that 2000, and my job was created, and I happen to be in the area, and I love working there.
Well, I think they were very glad to get you. And the back of that museum now, you put an addition, on the McGinnis Building, you said you call it?
McGinnis, yep. It's our first board president.
There's an archive room off the back, right?
Yes, we built that. It's, you know, storage for the gift shop and also for the museum artifacts. It's, you know, humidity controlled, temperature controlled, a very large space, which, you know, Nicole fills very fast, so she has to always be reorganizing. And this year we're actually doing more remodeling. I've put some pictures on the Facebook page of the new side of our the McVenus building, which would be the gift shop building. And this spring we'll be having a new front. And then next year phase two starts and we're going to expand the gift shop.
Well, that's good because while it's a great museum, great gift shop, it is a little crowded. So I can hardly wait to see what you're going to find to put in it. And one of the things I think is so interesting about your gift shop is you have a section of sort of retro items of things you've picked up online or various places. So depending on what's in, I've seen, I think you had the Laura Ingalls Wilder costume in there one time I was there. And
board game,
I think you
Little House of Furry board game. Yeah, everyone has to have one of those. If you didn't have one back then, you can get one now.
Sadly, I do have one and tried to play it. It's much better in the box.
I had a nice phone call this past right before Christmas, and the gentleman had been in July and wanted to get that for his wife for Christmas. So, do you still have that board game? Yes, we do. And so, trying to package that and mail that was interesting for our gift store attendant Betty, who takes care of all the mail orders, but she got it off to Christmas. I'm sure she was very happy.
Well, I'm sure. It's always a great thing to get a surprise for Laura Ingalls Wilder present for Christmas. And so this archive, what sort of things do you have in there?
We've been gathering items over the years. What used to happen back in the old days with the old museum was they would box everything up and everyone would take it back home. But now, when they did an inventory back in 99, they did an inventory of all the items that were on exhibit. That information was transferred to me so that I could inventory all the items that were not on exhibit. And it's just artifacts, the early pioneer days, photographs of Walnut Grove early days. We have all the Walnut Grove Tribune from when it started in 1900 to 2007 on microfilm and also hard copy. And then, of course, our first newspaper didn't start until 1891. That was called the Rural Center. And we have that one on microfilm as well and a few copies of the original. So our archives, between photograph collections that people have donated over the years, just kind of spacing Walnut Grove out over the years, it's a lot of stuff.
Are you still looking for stuff to put in it?
We are always looking for new items, especially, Laura Ingalls Wilder related. Our two main focuses for the museum is Laura Ingalls Wilder, of course, her entire life. We try to tell her whole life story. And then Walnut Grove from its beginnings to its present. So every year I collect the yearbook from the WWG Westbrook Walnut Grove School, and I have most of the yearbooks on file already. And it's photographs. My keenest interest was one of the projects that you started as well, was collecting Laura letters, even just photocopies of Laura letters, the letters that Laura wrote. There's information in those letters that are very precious, because sometimes instead of just writing a form letter, thank you for enjoying my book, she would actually give you a little tidbit details that you can't find anywhere else, because she never really wrote that kind of stuff down. So it's very interesting to have those on file.
Well, and I really do appreciate you. I'm not going to talk about it too long because we probably will have another episode sometime talking about the Laura Letters Project. But basically, if you don't know, Laura answered pretty much every letter that she received up until the last 6 months of her life. And while the letters she received are safely on file at Mansfield, the ones she sent out are kind of scattered to the four winds. So we've been working on trying to get at least photocopies of those letters, get them tracked down and get them on file. And I think I want to say 24 letters that I've sent on to you, and I think you've gotten some directly too. So I think it's just a wonderful project, and I'm so glad that you guys have that archive going there now. And you have a wonderful display, the last time I was there this summer, that you have up near that new section, which I'll let you talk about in just a minute. But there's a whole display of Laura letters. So if anybody out there is hearing this, knows of anybody who has a Laura letter, you be sure to send it either directly to the Walnut Grove Museum, or you can send it to me at Trundlebed Tales, P.O. Box 111, Solon, Iowa, 52333. And that contact information is on my website, and it really has been amazing. We've seen everything from an answer that Laura wrote about what really happened to Charlotte to a description of why she is looking down in that kind of famous picture of her and Almanzo and their dog in front of the rock house, to the first written record that we've found anywhere that she actually returned to Pepin as an adult while she was staying in Spring Valley with Almanzo's parents. So I think it's just been a wonderful project, and I certainly appreciate the support of the Walnut Grove Museum with that. And I think I have gotten more because I could say you guys were behind me than I would have ever gotten on my own. So thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. And you're talking about the new Laura Ingalls Wilder exhibit that we have over in Grandma's house. We remodeled again. You know, every year you do something a little different. 2007, we remodeled the depot and turn that into the Laura Ingalls Wilder History Room. It's all Laura, you know, storyboards telling her life through the books. And then, of course, the TV series Memorabilia Room, which I have to admit, I am a TV show fan, so I love that room. That has the mantle from the TV series. So the actual one that they show Paul leaning against every week, you know, smoking his pipe, that is what we have on exhibit over at the museum.
Which is really incredible. And as you watch, if you watch the old episodes, you can watch the mantle get darker and darker and darker. And there it is, just like it is in the last episodes. And you guys sort of have a faux fireplace behind it now. So I just think it's displayed really nicely there. I really enjoy it.
It gets lost before when it was just hanging on the wall, nobody really knew what it was. And once we copied the TV series mantle area, people notice it now, as did Melissa Gilbert when she visited Walnut Grove in 2008. She just kind of popped in for a surprise visit, and she was very excited to see that mantle.
Well, it's really a great room, and you guys have had some connections with some of the other people from the TV show, too, and more so than the other Laura museums. That's probably the other big thing that makes Walnut Grove unique is besides the wagon where everybody has to get their picture taken. And I mean that if you go to Walnut Grove, you have to get your picture taken there, is the TV show connection.
And that, you know, that's the fun thing is the other day I was inventorying some photographs of Karen Grassley and her visit in 1975. You know, I wasn't there in that the fall of 75 when she came, of course. I lived in upstate New York. But just seeing how excited the TV show people were just to come to Walnut Grove. You know, we had Melissa Sue Anderson, she came as a teenager. Doc Baker, Kevin Hagen, of course, he came. And I didn't get to meet him either, which is very sad, but, you know, you can't meet everybody. And then of recent, you know, history, we had Catherine McGregor was back in the 80s, Mrs. Olson. And then, of course, Alison Arngrim, she's been there twice. Nellie, my favorite character. And Dean Butler, he's been very generous on his visits coming to Walnut Grove. And actually one year he came and helped us celebrate Laura's birthday because he was doing some filming in February and happened to be there about the same time as both their birthdays. And so he went to the school and did a presentation, and the kids really enjoyed it.
Well, I'm sure they did. Dean Butler, I always remember when he was at Baroque, and he really should have left for his plane already, and there was a huge line of people, and he insisted on staying for another half hour after he should really have left if he was going to be sure of meeting his plane. He's just always generous like that. And I saw him this summer when he was there at Walnut Grove after Laura Palooza, and that was really a great thing. But Alison Engram's book has a special Walnut Grove connection, too, with the
Alison
gift shop.
Engram. Yep, yes. Yep. And that's, you know, I'm not sure what we can say on blog radio, but it's an excellent book, a very good read. We are actually the only museum that carries the TV stars' books in the gift shop.
And
we're
if
great.
They... Yes, and if you wanted to get a copy of Confessions autographed, you still have that offer going, right?
Oh, yes. Actually, we already have a ton of pre-autographed books on our shelves, so you could call and order an autographed Alison Arngrim book, today, or online, or if you would like to have one personalized autographed, we do that as well. Just go on the website, walnutgrove.org. And then you find Nellie's book, Confessions, and then order it and tell us what you want her to autograph the book.
I think
it's a great process for her to do that. We ship the books right to her, then she ships them back to us, and then we mail them to the lucky fans.
Well, I think that's just a wonderful thing that you guys have set up, because I'm sure there's a lot of people who love an autographed copy who don't happen to be on her book tour. So I got my copy that way, though I haven't actually gotten it read yet because my mother is hogging it. But she's enjoying it a lot. So I got it from you guys, and I opened it up, and she was there when I opened it up, and she said, "Oh, I want to read that." So
Of all the three books, you know, I usually say start with Nellie's book, go to Melissa's Gilbert's book, and then read Melissa Sue Anderson's book. I love Melissa Sue Anderson's because it kind of broke down the episode, so it's, "Oh, I remember that episode. Ooh, I should watch that episode again." You know, and that's what kind of opened my eyes on Melissa Sue Anderson's book. Melissa Gilbert's, you know, and again, you know, she was a great character, but I was a huge Nellie fan, and you met me, Sarah, you know.
Well, there's a lot to be a fan of. Nellie was, the girl everyone loved to hate, I think, and they certainly do a lot more with the character on the TV show than they did in the books, and I think part of that was just her wonderful facial expressions. I think she conveys so much. The thing my mom found most surprising from her book was that Melissa Gilbert and her are actually such good friends and would go shopping and have sleepovers and stuff, and it blew people's mind when they went out in public.
And that's, you know, the wonderful thing about working at the museum is my research. Sometimes I get to watch the TV show at work. Right now I'm researching for a new mural that we're going to be putting into the TV series memorabilia room, and it's going to go on the whole wall. It's going to be the main street, you know, in Walnut Grove, the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And so having to watch these episodes and seeing the Nellie, her hair, she doesn't have the wig the first season. It's just her natural hair. And how young she looks. And just that sassy, and supposedly she was really shy when she started the show. And so that sassiness that she has to put on her face, even though she feels bad being so mean, it's just amazing. And then just how strong of a person she grew to be because of having to play that kind of character and to be, you know, hated all those years and still hated, actually. Many people still hate her.
Yeah,
bad, but
well,
true.
She said one of the lessons she learned was that you never make a public appearance in costume as Nellie Olson. Well, a life lesson for us all. Once again, I just want to give a call out of what the numbers are in case anybody wants to call in. 1-714-242-5253, 1-714-242-5253, or toll free 1-877-633-9389, 1-877-633-9389. And if you are listening to this as an archive, of course you can't call in, but if you have any questions for Nicole, we can hopefully have her back again sometime, or if you want to go ahead and email me, or if you want to email the museum, I'm sure that you'd be glad to answer any questions that come up later, right, Nicole?
That is correct. When you were talking about changes the museum has had, you know, since I started adding on so many buildings and putting an outhouse and then building the dugout replica, which was one of the main goals the museum always wanted to do, was build a structure that was just like Laura's dugout. And we actually finally got to do that. And you asked me that question of how, you know, the process of creating that dugout. I'm like, oh, well, I know how to fill it because I did the exhibits inside in the interior. But Stan Gordon and a committee, of course, at the museum is the one that constructed it. And it's the best way to put it without having to read the lengthy description is it's an above-ground basement. So if you want to build yourself a dugout, you take a basement, you turn it upside down. Have a door, and you put dirt around it, and there you go. And then you paint the inside to make it look like whitewash. So it's like a simulation of the White House dirt walls. And it actually does feel just like Laura's dugout inside because it gets nice and cool in the summertime. And can, if you had this cook stove actually working, be nice and warm in the wintertime. One of the best exhibits I like to shove my 22, you know, school students that visit for the tour. I put them all inside there so they can see that 10 by 10 ceiling. 22 kids will fit, even fourth graders.
Well, I am surprised. It isn't that big a structure.
No. Nope.
But it must sure give them a feeling for the size. And that's a really nice thing to see at the museum, too, is to see that actual dugout. And that gives you an idea of sort of when you get out to the dugout site to kind of picture what it must have been like. And then next door to the dugout, you have between the dugout and the house is the school, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
We have it kind of on your tour of Walnut Grove in the museum area, we have the depot building, and you go to the little chapel, which we've had weddings and baptisms in, and then we go to Grandma's house, which has the new exhibits, the Laura Ingalls Wilder exhibit, the Veterans Memorial exhibit, and then the hands-on room. And then you go to the jail. Kids love the jail. And actually it is a jail that was in Walnut Grove at the old fire hall. And then you go to the dugouts, and then you go to your schoolhouse. And if you look behind the schoolhouse, there's the outhouse, because you have to have the outhouse behind the schoolhouse.
Sure.
And then the settler's home is actually, and how I like to perceive that building is I'm just moving in. We're moving out of the dugout into the settler's home, which is a frame house. And it actually belonged to Alec Nelson, who was mentioned in Laura's book on the banks of Plum Creek. And then this year, we're having a brand new hands-on exhibit over in the Heritage Lane building, which has the covered wagon exhibit with the new mural. That is going to be an all-hands-on general store, post office, bank, and telephone area. So you can go in and pretend that you are in the 1800s going to Old Mercantile, so to speak, shopping or being the storekeeper. I'm very excited about this new exhibit.
Well, it sounds exciting, and I'm glad to hear it, because I think that's one of the things they talk about in Laura's books that really kind of gets the short end of the stick in the museums is there isn't too much in the way of general stores. So I think this will really be a nice addition to that. And your hands-on room is really impressive. I really enjoy seeing what new things you've come up with for in there every year when I come, and so I'm excited to hear you got a new part too. I really think that Walnut Grove and DeSmet probably have the strongest hands-on programs. So I always tell people that your two sites are the best ones to go to if you have little kids, because there's something for them to do, and I think they will remember the experience more.
Yeah, and we have the prairie grass area too, right there on the ground. So if you have a little toddler that needs to run around, we have space for them to do it. And it's all secure. It's safe indoors, you know. It's all fenced in.
And I really like that new mural that you had. That it's in the Heritage Lane building. It's a mural of the dugout. But it has a really unique feature in front. Do you want to tell everybody what it is?
Well, we wanted to do more of a 3D effect when we did the mural, and Karen Peterson from Lake Benton was the muralist, and we said we need to have it so it looks like the Plum Creek is flowing out and there's a little waterfall. And so we have a waterfall that's sitting there and kind of tinkling just a little bit. You can barely hear it. We've been trying to make it louder, but it doesn't cooperate sometimes. And that comes out, and, of course, the covered wagon's there. It's kind of loaded and unloaded, so it's like you're just moving into your dugout. And then this year we're also adding a new mural to that building, and it's going to be the train mural behind our railroad items, because, of course, the train is very important to Laura in Walnut Grove because it came through Walnut Grove. Well, the reason why they moved there, I almost want to say, is a, you know, up-and-coming town.
Well, it really is a fantastic mural. Is the person who did that one going to do the train one and the town one too?
No, we actually have two different muralists that are going to come in and do the other ones. Karen Peterson, unfortunately, physically can't. The last mural that she was able to do was the one for us. Physically, she wasn't able to do any more murals. She does the smaller art projects. We have Jesse James, who you might remember. He played in the Wilder pageant years and years and years ago. He'll be doing the railroad museum, the railroad mural. And then Greg, and I apologize, his last name, Perliska. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it. He will be doing the TV series mural for us in the depot.
Well, that just sounds great. Are you going to try and have a 3D element in them too, or?
Of course. important to have it, so it brings it to life for children. And I'm, you know, as I said, Sarah, you've met me. You know, I'm half kid, so I always think as a kid sometimes when I do exhibits to make sure it's kid friendly and safe and entertaining. So even a mural should be all those things. If you look real closely, you can find grasshoppers in the mural that we have of the dugout area. And then if you look real closely to the waterfall area, there's a grasshopper in there too.
Well, I will have to look for the grasshoppers next time, but it really is a beautiful mural. And it looks like we actually have somebody calling in to ask us a question. So let's see if we can figure out how this works. So hold on. This is area code 605. So hello, welcome to Trundlebed Tales Radio. Do you have a question?
Yeah.
Hi.
I was just wondering if Nicole could briefly talk about, I think she was a part of the Secret of the Tree story that ran on KSFY. I was wondering if she would be willing to talk about that a little bit and her experience with that.
Secret of the Tree, a very nice experience. I was interviewed by Brian Allen of KSFY, Channel 5, and out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And Brian Allen was very excited because he had started doing some family research for his boys, and it turned out that he was connected to Laura Ingalls Wilder. And nice after that aired on TV, we got to chat and be friends, and he found out by mistake, again, that he had actually come to Walnut Grove prior to the filling of our interview as a little boy. And remember that wagon you talked about, Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
He put a picture on his blog of him standing in front of that wagon. So, of course, now that's part of the museum archives. So, again, the people who find out they're connected to Laura Ingalls Wilder, like Brian Allen did, are very excited. Sue Francis out of Indiana and Beth Ingalls Lamsey's, I probably shred her name too, she's out of Wisconsin. I'm very excited that they're connected to Laura. And as Brian was very nice to encourage his boys to learn more about their heritage through reading the books.
So did that answer your question, or did you have anything else you wanted to ask?
No, that was it. I was just—I just wanted to get her opinion on the story and how how it was, and researching family history has always been important, so everybody can learn about it. And I just felt that story really brought it out there even more to people.
And you can still see it. It's on Brian's blog, but also still on KSFY, their website, ksfy.com. You can just do type Secret of the Tree and go watch it if you haven't seen it already, because it's a very good episode.
It really is.
I appreciate the information.
Well, thank you, and thank you for calling in. I'm going to go ahead and put you back just so you can listen again. And
one of the questions you had, too, that you had sent me was about our how do we advertise? You mentioned the social media. We're on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We're on Twitter. Blogspot now and YouTube, all those little multimedia things that I'm still trying to figure out. I know we have articles that are going to be published in the Wild West magazine this year, and then also the True West magazine. So if you're a country fan, check out those magazines for articles about Walnut Grove. And then just recently, about the same month that Brian Allen interviewed me, we had PBS did a special Blizzards of Minnesota, and they came to Walnut Grove last winter, which, of course, we had a lot of snow last winter, thank goodness. And they filmed, you remember Errol Steffen, who plays Paw in the Wilder pageant? He pretended he was Paw and was trudging through the snow to go to the snowed-in dugout over on the museum grounds. And that is also available online. You can watch that. It's a very nice episode teaching you how dangerous blizzards can be in southwestern Minnesota or wherever it's really windy, Midwest.
Yeah, it is kind of a nifty thing, and I think it's important for people to know. There's sometimes we run into people who, even people who say that they're Laura fans and don't know that the museums are out there. So I think it's still good to spread the good word about the museums, because each one is such a different experience, and I think it's definitely well worth going to. And I especially think that Walnut Grove and DeSmet make such a nice pairing, especially during the pageant. So I actually did that in 2000. Well, I wimped out on the pageant this year because it was that terrible rainstorm, and I kind of sick. But the year before, in 2009, I actually did do the Walnut Grove pageant one night and the DeSmet pageant the next. And it's kind of an interesting experience to have them just sort of contrast and compare like that. And it's definitely a doable drive. That
And that was the nice thing about this summer, not having a pageant on a Sunday night. Myself and Christina were able to tag along with Sandra Hume. She was nice enough to let us share her hotel room. And we got to go my first time to the DeSmet pageant, which I really enjoyed. I loved, you know, being able to talk to everyone there. And, of course, got to see Dean again. And that's always a treat. As I said, it's just, and Sarah, believe it or not, people still don't know that there is a Walnut Grove. I get phone calls all the time going, oh, my goodness, you really do exist? Because they think we're just a fictitious town because of the TV series. And then Amy had an 11-minute phone call the other day asking the questions, comparing, you know, did Mary really get married and have a baby? And what about Albert? You know, the questions comparing those two. I mean, we have to distinguish those, the real Laura, the book Laura, and the TV Laura. There's three different Lauras we need to educate people on and make it fun for them to learn it, you know. In 1867, Laura Ingalls Wilder, I mean, you have to make it fun. And that's what I hope our museums do.
Well, it's definitely a good point. Maybe we'll have to do an episode sometime where we talk about differences between the three, because I think there's probably a lot of people who get confused. I hear that there are actually people who sometimes try and tell the people in DeSmet that the tombstone for Laura's son is wrong, because clearly it has to be Mary's son who died in the burn in the blind school fire, because they saw it on TV, and so it must be true.
And we enjoy our very sick personalities that we have over at Walnut Grove, at least mine. I do really enjoy crashing people's dreams and saying, I am so sorry, that is not how it happened. but I try to put it lightly.
and speaking of fire, that's a reason why Walnut Grove looks a little different than some Midwestern towns, right?
In the early 1900s, there was the south side of Main Street. Most of it burnt down. It's rumored that it started in a Tellefson store, but, of course, Mr. Tellefson wrote a letter in the newspaper saying, no, it wasn't my store, quit blaming me. most of the buildings were, you know, your typical Main Street made out of woods, false fronts, and that we only had a couple of brick buildings that survived the fire. And then after that, of course, if you're going to have a town, you got to build in brick. So most of the buildings you see now on Main Street on the south side are the brick ones, that are the original ones that were rebuilt in 1903.
Well, while we're kind of on the subject of Walnut Grove history in general, there's another kind of interesting element that there's you guys kind of had an unexpected wave of immigration that people might notice around town when they come to visit.
Very exciting. When I moved to the area, it was about the same time as the Hmongs moved into Walnut Grove, and they brought in these big families, putting more kids in our schools, buying up businesses in town, you know, incorporating themselves into Walnut Grove. And it wasn't because, well, you know, what other southwestern Minnesota towns should we move to? It was because the daughter of one of the main families liked the TV show Little House on the Prairie and said, hey, father, why don't we move down to Walnut Grove? It seems like a really nice town. And so they have, and, you know, it's great because it's kept our schools open. You know, I said they own the grocery store there in town, they have businesses, they work at various different area places. It's very nice to have different heritage moving into, you know, the immigration type thing again, happening that happened when we had all the settlers coming out west, kind of the same thing.
Okay, well, we've got about 5 minutes left. Mm-hmm. It went fast, I think.
It did.
So thank you again for agreeing to be my guinea pig. I don't think it hurt much. So maybe you'll have to tell other people it's all right if they come on.
Well, I'm Curtis Thirsty from Iowa. Would love to be on. He's a good guy. And
mm-hmm. We will definitely have to have him, though I haven't gotten it arranged yet. Let's just kind of run through quickly what there is exactly to see, just sort of a list of Laura-related things to see in Walnut Grove. So if somebody is sitting there planning their vacation, what is there?
On your vacation, you call the museum for a brochure. A 2011 brochure will be coming out soon. We can send you that. It'll have the dates of everything going on in 2011. There are no lodgings in Walnut Grove except for our campground, and we are taking reservations at the museum for sites for the campground, so you can call and make reservations now. You come to the museum first because it's the easiest way of finding out where everything's at. That's why we started, for the information center. There's the dugout sites, a mile and a half north of town. There's Plum Creek Upper and Lower Parks where you can frisbee golf, go fishing, go swimming, go right into Plum Creek. You have Main Street, which has some great shops. Right off the highway, you got some nice new shops, too. So great adventure. So you come to Walnut Grove and spend the day. And, of course,
well,
the museum.
I definitely think you can spend the day looking around and finding all sorts of things. And there's all sorts of interesting little shops in downtown Walnut Grove, too.
There's Nellie's Cafe, the Walnut Grove Bar and Grill, you know, good restaurants. You can get some subs if you want a picnic lunch. You got submarines and pizzas over at the gas station. Take those out. They have picnic tables at the dugout site you can eat at. I encourage people, yes, and, you know, we don't have lodging, but if you are a camper, we have a beautiful campground, and it's right by Lake Laura, which is a man-made lake. It's just a mile and a half outside of town, so it's not that far away. We actually had a brave soul who camped and walked to town, even though it was very, very cold. She still camped and walked to town, but she was a brave soul from Europe who was going the Greyhound trip, and she was hitting all the Laura sites that way.
Well, you sometimes run into those walkers at the Laura sites. It's interesting. Sometimes they're braver than I am. But did you want to give the phone number for the museum and the website again?
Our website, of course, is walnutgrove.org, O-R-G, and then the toll-free number is 866-528-7298, or local number is 507-859-2358. And our Wilder pageant again is going to be July 8th, 9th, 15th, 16th, 22nd, and 23rd. And we are going to have two Saturdays again for the Laura and Nellie Lookalike contest. That will be July 9th, 16th. And our family festival, which is a free event, will be the Saturdays, July 9th, 16th, and 23rd.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Nicole, again for coming on, and I hope
Thanks
that
for inviting me.
Well, I hope that we'll be able to have you back again sometime. I just want to mention before we run out of time that the next episode of Trundlebed Tales Radio is Celebrate Laura's Birthday on Air, and it's going to be Laura's actual birthday, February 7th, and it's going to be a little later in the evening again because I'm still kind of experimenting with time, seeing when people are available. So it's going to be at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So I will see you next Monday, and I hope that
If they would email the Laura Museum at walnutgrove.org what they're planning on doing for their Laura birthday celebration, I'm always interested in new ideas for ours. We celebrate with the second graders every year, and trying to come up with new ideas for these kids after they've come to the museum and done everything is always a challenge. So I would be very interested in that.
Okay, so if anybody has any new ideas on that, go ahead and email Nicole and tune in to us, and we're going to be talking a little bit about the history of how Laura's birthday has been celebrated over the years, and we're going to be talking just a little bit about how birthdays were celebrated back in the 19th century. So I think it's going to be an interesting show, and once again, it's going to be about 30 minutes, so we're going to go back to the shorter time. we're going to kind of try and have every other show, one be just me, one be an interview, and the interview shows are going to be the hour. We're going to try and make it so it isn't too burdensome for people to keep up and listen. You can catch the archives on blogtalkradio.com/trundlebedtales and also through iTunes. So thank you very much, and have a very Laura week.